Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned, a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, I'd like to welcome you to episode 3 of Comedy Playhouse, brought to you through the good efforts of Florida Media Labs. Tonight, we have something very, very special for you. The latest in state-of-the-art high-tech comedy. Not only do we have a brand new skit performed by the Playhouse Troupe, we also have the latest in state-of-the-art humor machines. So let me bring you, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to bring you a little machine that we call the Amuse-a-thon 5000. Take it away, Amuse-a-thon.
Amuse-a-thon 5000, part 2. 12 steps recovery program for computer addict 1. I will have a cup of coffee in the morning and read my paper newspaper like I used to, before the web. 2. I will eat breakfast with a knife and fork and not with one hand typing. 3. I will get dressed before noon. 4. I will make an attempt to clean the house, wash clothes, and plan dinner before even thinking of the web. 5. I will sit down and write a letter to those unfortunate few friends and family that are web-deprived. 6. I will call someone on the phone who I cannot contact via the web. 7. I will read a book, if I still remember how. 8. I will listen to those around me about their needs and stop telling them to turn the TV down so I can hear the music on the web. 9. I will not be tempted during TV commercials to check for email. 10. 1. I will try and get out of the house at least once a week, if it is necessary or not. 11. I will remember that my bank is not forgiving if I forget to balance my checkbook because I was too busy on the web. 12. Last, but not least, I will remember that I must go to bed sometime, and the web will always be there tomorrow. Next joke, a man goes to his physician and is shocked to find that he has been replaced by a supercomputer. The computer asks him his ailments and the man says he has a sore elbow. A drawer pops out and he is asked to urinate in it. After a few leaps and flashing lights, the computer decides he has tennis elbow. The man is annoyed and decides to get one over on his machine, so he asks his wife for a urine sample. He then mixes this with urine from his dog and his small son and, to top it off, adds some of his sperm. He takes it to the computer physician, who again asks him for a sample. He places the urine sperm sample in the drawer and the computer makes its usual display of bleeps and flashes before telling him that his wife is pregnant, his dog has rabies, his son has chicken pox, and if he doesn't stop masturbating he'll never get rid of his tennis elbow. Next joke. A truck driver, hauling a tractor trailer load of computers, stops for a beer. As he approaches the bar, he sees a big sign on the door that says, "Computer NERDS not allowed, enter at your own risk." He enters and sits down. The bartender comes over to him, sniffs, and says that he smells kind of nerdy. He then asks him what he does for a living. The truck driver explains to him that he drives a truck, and the smell is just from the computers he is hauling. The bartender serves him a beer and says, "Okay, truck drivers aren't nerds." As he is sipping his beer, a skinny guy walks in wearing a pair of glasses with tape around the middle, a pocket protector with 12 kinds of pens and pencils, and a belt that is at least a foot too long. The bartender, without saying a word, pulls out a shotgun and blows the guy away. The truck driver asks him why he did that. The bartender replied, "Don't worry. The computer nerds are in season because they are overpopulating Silicon Valley. You don't even need a license." So the truck driver finishes his beer, gets back in his truck, and heads for the freeway. Suddenly, he veers to avoid an accident, and the load shifts. The back door breaks open and computers spill out all over the road. He jumps out and sees a crowd already forming, snatching up all of the computers. The scavengers are comprised of engineers, accountants and programmers, computer geeks, each of them wearing the nerdiest clothes he has ever seen. He can't let them steal his whole load. So remembering what happened in the bar, he pulls out his gun and starts blasting away, killing several of them instantly. A highway patrol officer comes zooming up and jumps out of the car, screaming at him to stop. The truck driver said, "What's wrong? I thought computer nerds were in season." "Well, sure," says the patrolman, "but you can't bait, M." Next joke. "Well, my terminal's locked up, and I ain't got any mail, and I can't recall the last time that my program didn't fail. I've got stacks in my structs, I've got arrays in my queues, I've got the segmentation violation, core dump blues. If you think that it's nice that you get what you see, then go illogical statement with your whole family. Because the Supreme Court ain't the only place with bus error views. I've got the segmentation violation, core dump blues. On a PDP-11, life should be a breeze, but with VAs and in the house even magnetic tapes would freeze. Now you might think that unlike VAs and I know who I abuse, I've got the segmentation violation, core dump blues." Next joke. Bill Gates' adventures in heaven. Ever wondered what heaven looks like? Bill Gates died and, much to everyone's surprise, went to heaven. When he got there, he had to wait in the reception area. Heaven's reception area was the size of Massachusetts. There were literally millions of people milling about, living in tents with nothing to do all day. Food and water were being distributed from the backs of trucks, while staffers with clipboards slowly worked their way through the crowd. Bill lived in a tent for 3 weeks until, finally, one of the staffers approached him. The staffer was a young man in his late teens, face scarred with acne. He was wearing a blue t-shirt with the words "Team Peter" emblazoned on it in large yellow lettering. "Hello," said the staffer in a bored voice that could have been the voice of any clerk in any overgrown bureaucracy. "My name is Gabriel and I'll be your induction coordinator." Bill started to ask a question, but Gabriel interrupted him. "No, I'm not the Archangel Gabriel. I'm just a guy from Philadelphia named Gabriel who died in a car wreck at the age of 17. Now give me your name, last name first, unless you were Chinese, in which case it's first name first." "Gates, Bill." Gabriel started searching through the sheaf of papers on his clipboard, looking for Bill's record of earthly works. "What's going on here?" asked Bill. "Why are all these people here? Where's St. Peter? Where are the pearly gates?" Gabriel ignored the questions until he located Bill's records. Then Gabriel looked up in surprise. "It says here that you were the president of a large software company. Is that right?" "Yes." "Well then, do the math, Chiphead. When this St. Peter business started, it was an easy gig. Only 100 or so people died every day, and Peter could handle it all by himself, no problem. But now there are over 5 billion people on Earth. Jesus, when God said to go forth and multiply, he didn't say, like rabbits. With that large a population, 10,000 people die every hour. Over 250,000 people a day. Do you think Peter can meet them all personally? I guess not." "You guess right." So Peter had to franchise the operation. Now, Peter is the CEO of Team Peter Enterprises, Incorporated. He just sits in the corporate headquarters and sets policy. Franchises like me handle the actual inductions. Gabriel looked through his paperwork some more, and then continued. Your paperwork seems to be in order. And with a background like yours, you'll be getting a plum job assignment. Job assignment? Of course. Did you expect to spend the rest of eternity sitting on your ass and drinking ambrosia? Heaven is a big operation. You have to pull your weight around here. Gabriel took out a replica form, had Bill sign at the bottom, and then tore out the middle copy and handed it to Bill. Take this down to induction center number 23 and meet up with your occupational orientator. His name is Abraham. Bill started to ask a question, but Gabriel interrupted him. No, he's not that Abraham. Bill walked down a muddy trail for 10 miles until he came to induction center number 23. He met with Abraham after a mere 6-hour wait. Heaven is centuries behind in building its data processing infrastructure, explained Abraham. As you've seen, we're still doing everything on paper. It takes us a week just to process new entries. I had to wait 3 weeks, said Bill. Abraham stared at Bill angrily, and Bill realized that he'd made a mistake. Even in heaven, it's best not to contradict a bureaucrat. Well, Bill offered, maybe the Bosnia thing has you guys backed up. Abraham's look of anger faded to mere annoyance. Your job will be to supervise Heaven's new data processing center. We're building the largest computing facility in creation. 500,000 computers connected by a multi-segment fiber optic network, all running into a back-end server network with 1,000 CPUs on a gigabit channel. Fully fault-tolerant. Fully distributed processing. The works. Bill could barely contain his excitement. Wow! What a great job! This is really heaven. We're just finishing construction, and we'll be starting operations soon. Would you like to go see the center now? You bet. Abraham and Bill caught the shuttle bus and went to Heaven's new data processing center. It was a truly huge facility, 100 times bigger than the Astrodome. Workmen were crawling all over the place, getting the miles of fiber optic cables properly installed. But the center was dominated by the computers. 500,000 computers, arranged neatly row by row, 500,000 Macintoshes, all running Claris software. Not a PC in sight. Not a single byte of Microsoft code. The thought of spending the rest of eternity using products that he had spent his whole life working to destroy was too much for Bill. What about PCs? He exclaimed. What about Windows? What about Excel? What about Word? You're forgetting something, said Abraham. What's that? Asked Bill plaintively. This is heaven, explained Abraham. We need a computer system that's heavenly to use. If you want to build a data processing center based on PCs running Windows, then go to hell. Next joke. There was a pilot flying a small single-engine charter plane with a couple of very important executives on board. He was coming into Seattle Airport through thick fog with less than 10 m visibility when his instruments went out. So he began circling around looking for a landmark. After an hour or so, he starts running pretty low on fuel and the passengers are getting very nervous. Finally, a small opening in the fog appears and he sees a tall building with one guy working alone on the fifth floor. The pilot banks the plane around, rolls down the window and shouts to the guy, "Hey, where am I?" To this, the solitary office worker replies, "You're in a plane." The pilot rolls up the window, executes a 275-degree turn, and proceeds to execute a perfect blind landing on the runway of the airport 5 miles away. Just as the plane stops, so does the engine as the fuel has run out. The passengers are amazed and one asks how he did it. "Simple," replies the pilot. "I asked the guy in that building a simple question. The answer he gave me was 100% correct, but absolutely useless, therefore that must be Microsoft's support office and from there the airport is just a while away. Next joke. Microsoft tester dies tragically at hands of, pal, Redmond, wah. The Microsoft Redmond campus was rocked by tragedy today as Paul Fitzgerald, test engineer on the Windows NT team, was brutally murdered in an apparently psychotic tirade by one of the personalities of Microsoft's latest operating system shell program, Bob. In the small hours of this morning, Java, the friendly coffee-drinking dinosaur, burst from the screen of Fitzgerald's computer, cutting a swath of destruction throughout the hapless worker's office and into the accompanying hallway. The beast was quickly subdued by Microsoft campus security upon failing to produce a valid Microsoft key card, avoiding what could otherwise have been a tragedy of much greater proportions. He is currently undergoing psychiatric evaluation at the Washington Institute for perfectly valid life forms who in the heat of the moment do some absolutely naughty things, says Lars Opstad, chief spiritual healer and concert pianist. It's touch and go right now. I don't think Java yet realizes the immensity of what he's done. Eyewitnesses say that they could hear the stegosaur-like computer guide screaming, "All I wanted was a good espresso," in those terrible moments before dawn, said Rover Retriever, another Bob personality. This is just terrible. Java was always such a great guy. Sure, he was a little high-strung, but I can't believe he would do something like this. I think we need to seriously re-examine the stress that the Bob personality group is under so that another such incident doesn't occur. A possible precipitant to the incident could be Java's recent attempt to quit smoking as a result of a clause in his contract. Lawyers are examining whether this constitutes a violation of discriminatory hiring statutes on Microsoft's part. Microsoft legal could not be reached for comment. But an undisclosed source asserted, "We couldn't have him puffing away like that. He's a dinosaur, not a dragon. It would confuse the market." Coroner's reports say Fitzgerald died instantly of cardiac arrest, but are unclear on whether this was a result of the vicious attack or the fact that Bob installed successfully on NT. Next joke. Q. Why do all Pascal programmers ask to live in Atlantis? A. Because it is below sea level. Next joke. Murphy's laws of computing. When computing, whatever happens, behave as though you meant it to happen. When you get to the point where you really understand your computer, it's probably obsolete. The first place to look for information is in the section of the manual where you least expect to find it. When the going gets tough, upgrade. For every action, there is an equal and opposite malfunction. He who laughs last probably made a backup. A complex system that does not work is invariably found to have evolved from a simpler system that worked just fine. The number one cause of computer problems is computer solutions. A computer program will always do what you tell it to do, but rarely what you want to do. Next joke. An English teacher was explaining to his students the concept of gender association in the English language. He stated how hurricanes at one time were given feminine names and how ships and planes were usually referred to as she. One of the students raised their hand and asked, "What gender is a computer?" The teacher wasn't certain which it was, so he divided the class into two groups, males in one, females in the other, and asked them to decide if a computer should be masculine or feminine. Both groups were asked to give four reasons for their recommendation. The group of women concluded that computers should be referred to in the masculine gender because, 1. In order to get their attention, you have to turn them on. 2. They have a lot of data but are still clueless. 3. They're supposed to help solve your problems, but half the time they are the problem. 4. As soon as you commit to one, you realize that, if you had waited a little longer, you could have had a better model. The men, on the other hand, decided that computers should definitely be referred to in the feminine gender because, 1. No one but their creator understands their internal logic. 2. The native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else. 3. Even your smallest mistakes are stored in long-term memory for later retrieval. 4. As soon as you make a commitment to one, you find yourself spending half your paycheck on accessories for it. Next joke.
And that's the Amusatron 5000. We may have to do the upgrade during the break. But now, ladies and gentlemen, now we've got something different. Now we're going to bring you the first skit of the evening. And this is called Hillary's Dream. It will be performed by the Comedy Playhouse Troupe, featuring Gwen Goldenheart, Amy Airwaves, Jackie Japes, Linda Laughinghouse, and Richard Ridiculo. Our scene opens in a green room, back on the studio lot. Excited voices outside herald the arrival of the significant personage.
Yes, yes, thanks. Just give me 10 minutes to myself.
An exhausted Hillary steps into the room, closing the door behind her. An aide ducks his head into the room.
Ma'am?
What? Can't I get 10 minutes?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, they just said you can have, 15, 17 minutes. The current guest is going long.
Oh, good. I'm going to catch a quick nap. Call me in 10, would you?
Yes, ma'am. 10 it is.
Hillary walks to the overstuffed chair and collapses in a heap. Reaching over to the lamp near the table, she switches it off, places her hand over her eyes, closes those world-weary eyes. A pause. Then a vague shape begins to materialize across the room, and a hand reaches out.
Hillary! Hillary, booby! What's up, honey? Nasty peacenik liberals got you down.
Who?
Hillary, booby, it's me, Golda.
Really? Golda? Golda Meir?
Let me tell you something, Bubalink. You want power? Remember this. Pessimism is a luxury that a woman running for election can never allow herself.
What did they want from me?
Say what you say. Hell, I even made a Moses joke. Oy, the trouble that stirred up.
What do you mean? You said something about Moses?
Let me tell you the one thing that I have against Moses. He took us 40 years into the desert in order to bring us to the one place in the Middle East that has no oil.
Your government's taking care of that, huh?
I just wanted to tell you, don't let those liberal peaceniks turn your head.
Don't you worry. With all that Lockheed, Raytheon, Boeing boodle rustling around in my purse.
Don't you mean jingle jangling?
Not this kind of cash. This kind of cash doesn't jingle.
Huh. Will your government finally get around to spreading some of that jingle our way?
Golda, darling, it's what we do.
Israel is the largest recipient of U.S. foreign aid. Since 1949, the United States has provided Israel with $101 billion in total aid, of which $53 billion has been military aid. For the last 20-plus years, Israel has received an average of $3 billion annually in grant aid. Until now, the grant has been a mix of economic and military aid.
Oh, look who's here, Indira Gandhi, the Iron Lady of India. Indira, still leading the Monkey Brigade.
Golda, you owe the brigand. Remember, martyrdom does not end something. It's only a beginning.
Golda is stunned at Indira's bluntness.
Whether women are better than men, I cannot say. But I can say they are certainly no worse, jailbird.
A nation's strength ultimately consists of what it can do on its own, not in what it can borrow from others. Your bigger nation, latest killing adventure, is armored by bullet gilt from Washington.
Ladies, ladies, please, this is my dream. Jeez, I've got the left and the damn right all against me. My goddamn husband is a 70-year-old sex symbol, just bubbling over with compassion, and I'm viewed as a cold-hearted Wall Street walker.
Toughen up, biscuit. My father was a statesman. I am a political woman. My father was a saint. I am not.
My wandering husband is no saint, and I'm... just
don't be humble. You're not that great.
I need advice. I never thought I'd get over that under fire flying bullets crack. And then the whole Benghazi debacle. I'm getting attacked for carrying water for the CIA, which anyone with an IQ this side of Sarah Palin knows.
Hey, my enemies killed me. You're worried about some baboons on TV throwing feces? By the magnetic gaze of Ganesh, it's the Iron Lady of Great Britain.
Hillary, it may be the cock that crows, but it is the hen that lays the eggs. My goodness, it's Maggie, how you been? I stopped by to give my daughter, by another father, Hill, some words of wisdom. If you just set out to be liked, you will be prepared to compromise on anything at any time, and you would achieve nothing.
You cannot shake hands with a clenched fist, my dear.
Standing in the middle of the road is very dangerous. You get knocked down by traffic from both sides.
I just want to know how I can please them all, and they hate that I get along with Wall Street.
No one would remember the Good Samaritan if only he had good intentions. He had money as well.
My grandfather once told me there are two kinds of people, those who do the work and those who take the credit. He told me to try to be in the first group. There was much less competition.
There's no difference between one's killing and making decisions that will send others to kill. It's exactly the same thing, or even worse. If my critics saw me walking over the Thames, they would say it was because I could not swim.
Why don't they like me? Maybe... the people are tired of liars and people who pretend to be something they're not.
I never did anything alone. Whatever was accomplished in this country was accomplished collectively.
What?
Don't cry for me, you progressives. Your tree-hugging ways and pipeline delays don't move me. The truth is my Wall Street buddies are sharing the wealth now. They've reformed LIBOR. Their banking's honest. They've waived their salaries. They took their haircuts. I've made a promise. Now keep your distance. Don't cry for me, right-wing T-boys. The truth is you'll never get me. The bodies are buried. Benghazi's over. My checkbook's in clover. Security's tighter. My knuckles whiter. So keep your distance. Don't cry for me, all you liberals. I know you quail at welfare. I know what you care for. We've taken your measure. Your stock market treasure will soothe your conscience. Then the drone will harness. We have the weapons. You're well in range now. Wait! Feel like the system is rigged against them, and here is the painful part. They're right. The system is rigged.
It is a fact that around the world, the elites of every country are making money, and you don't walk away if you love someone.
Nobody's too big to jail.
We're out of here.
Golda, Mags, and Indira disappear in a cloud of sulfurous smoke.
Miss Clinton, are you all right?
Oh, I had a terrible dream. Am I the last guest on the couch?
No, ma'am. Senator Warren's up next.
No!
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Hillary's Dream, performed by the comedy troupe of the Florida Media Labs, featuring Gwen Goldenheart, Amy Airwaves, Jackie Japes, Linda Laughinghouse, and Richard Ridiculo. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed it. And thank you all, one and all. And now, the daughter jokes. The doctor jokes. A blonde has a sharp pain in her side, so she goes to the hospital. The doctor examines her and says,
"You have acute appendicitis, my dear."
The blonde says,
"Well, that's very sweet, doctor, but I came in here to get medical help."
Ted and Julia go to bed for the first time. Julia said,
"I should warn you, Ted, I have acute angina."
Ted said, "Well, your breasts aren't bad either." There's a bunch of doctors gathered together at the doctor's convention one night. A male doctor noticed a female doctor from across the room. The female doctor notices, and also the next thing you know, they're sitting next to each other by the end of the dinner. After the dinner, the male asked the woman if she wants to go up to his hotel room. "Sure," the woman said. "Let me go wash my hands first." After she washes her hands, they have sex. After they're finished, she washes her hands again. This is really starting to annoy the male doctor, so he said, "You know, you must be a surgeon because you keep washing your hands." Angry at his remark, the woman says, "Well, you must be an anesthesiologist, because I didn't feel a thing."
Okay, there we go.
And now, as we're getting ready to reboot the Amusatron 5000, I think some of the troupe has some jokes. Who's got a joke?
Why did the man put condoms on his ears during sex? Answer, he didn't want to get hearing aids.
I have a joke.
You have a joke? Please, let's
do it. There's a 2-hour movie documentary about Sarah Palin's political life, in case you're interested in watching a movie that's longer than her actual political life. When buying and selling are controlled by legislation, the first thing to be bought and sold are legislators. Politicians and diapers have one thing in common. They should be changed regularly and for the same reason. Now, I wasn't surprised when Obama got a second term. Black men always get longer sentences. I used to have a handle on things, but I broke that a while ago. Now, if you first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you. Beauty is in the eye of the beer holder. A police officer saw a car speeding down the highway. Chasing after it, he got close and saw it was just a little old lady actually knitting while driving. The cop yelled, "Pull over!" And she yelled back, "No, it's a sweater!" Your mama is so ugly that when she tried to enter an ugly contest, they said, "Sorry, no professional." Politics is the gentle art of getting votes from the poor and campaign funds from the rich by promising to protect each of them from the other.
Very good.
Now,
go ahead.
I saw a fish posting bail, and then he yelled, "I'm off the hook!" Now, what's the difference between a piano and a fish? You can tune the piano, but you cannot tune a fish.
Very good.
You ready?
Yep.
Is there more?
Go ahead.
Okay, did you know that during Lent the Pope eats holy mackerel? Now, I met a bear with no teeth. His friends call him Gummy Bear. Now, James is on the phone with the school and says, "My son has a bad cold and won't be able to come to school today." And the school secretary says, "Who is this?" And Dave says, "This is my father speaking." Now, why is
it? Cheering.
Ecstatic.
Go ahead.
Ready for some more? Okay. Why is the river rich? It has banks on both sides. Now, I was watching my dog so he wouldn't eat my homework, but then my hamster went and shredded it for his nest. So I don't have my homework. And my frog's car broke down, and they towed it away. Now, I saw a duck trying to buy lipstick, but she was broke, so she asked them to put it on her bill. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Achoo. Achoo
who? Oh, bless you. Knock, knock. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Mango.
Mango who?
Mango, go to the door and open it. It's cold outside. Now, a couple is setting up their password on a computer program, and the husband decides to type, "My penis." The wife falls on the ground laughing. The screen says, "Error, not long enough." Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ahem.
Ahem who?
I am the payphone trying to call home. All my change is spent on you. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
A broken pencil.
A broken pencil who?
Well, never mind. It's pointless. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Daisy.
Daisy who?
They see me rolling. They hating. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Doorbell repairman. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Europe.
Europe who?
No, Europe who? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Guess.
Guess who?
I said guess.
Huh. I bet
knock,
it's you.
Knock.
Who's there?
Dad.
Dad who?
Unlock the door, Calvin. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cashew.
Oops. Cashew who?
Let me try that one again. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cashew.
There we
no,
go.
Thanks, but I'd like a peanut. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ketchup.
Ketchup who?
Catch up with me and I'll tell you.
I've got, who's there?
Ho ho.
Ho ho who?
You know, your Santa impression could use some work.
I've got a hospital joke here.
Okay, cool.
Patient says, I seem to be in a hospital. Why am I here? The doctor says, well, you had an accident involving a bus. Patient says, well, what happened? The doctor says, well, I've got good news and some bad news. Which would you like to hear first? Well, give me the bad news first, said the patient. Doctor says, well, your legs were so badly injured, we had to amputate both of them. The patient says, oh, my God, that's terrible. What's the good news? Doctor says, well, there's a guy in the next ward who made a really good offer on your slippers.
Oh.
A sick patient asked the doctor, flu? The doctor replied, no, no, actually I came on my bus. A mechanic noticed that his coworker was drinking brake fluid at lunch. What are you doing, man? You can't drink that stuff. Ah, relax, said the coworker. This stuff tastes pretty good. Besides, I don't drink it all the time. Seriously, said the mechanic, that brake fluid's poisonous. Hey, man, said their coworker, back off. I can stop any time.
I will.
Prisoner says, look, Doc, you've removed my spleen. You removed my tonsils, my adenoids, one of my kidneys. I only came here to see if you can get me out of this place. Doctor said, I am. Just bit by bit.
Oh.
You have another knock-knock?
Well, I got a date joke.
Okay, go ahead.
Jack and Susan are on a blind date at a nice restaurant, and it's going terribly. Jack wants to leave, but he can't because they're waiting on the main course to arrive. But being an experienced dater, he's foreseen this happening and arranged with a friend to call him midway through the date to see how things are going. Finn finally calls on his cell phone. Jack answers, listens for a minute, and says, oh, no. He hangs up and says to Susan, I have to go. My grandmother just died. Susan, also an experienced dater, says, thank goodness, my grandmother was just about to die.
Very good. I've got a dentist and patient joke. The dentist, after completing work on the patient, said to him, begging, hey, mister, can you help me? I mean, could you give out a few of your loudest, most painful screams?
Why, doctor? It wasn't all bad this time.
The dentist says, well, there's so many people in the waiting room right now, I don't want to miss the 4 o'clock ball game.
A woman goes to her doctor who verifies that she is pregnant. This is her first pregnancy. The doctor asks her if she has any questions. She replies, well, I'm a little worried about the pain. How much will childbirth hurt? The doctor answered, well, that varies from woman to woman and pregnancy to pregnancy. And besides, it's difficult to describe pain. I know, but can't you give me some idea, she asks. Grab your upper lip and pull it out a little, like this. A little more, like this? No, a little more, like this? Yes, does that hurt? A little bit. Now, stretch it over your head.
I was sitting in the waiting room of the hospital after my wife had gone into labor. The nurse walks out and said to the man sitting next to me, congratulations, sir. You're the new father of twins. The man replied, how about that? I work for the Double Mint Chewing Company. A man followed the man into his wife's room. About an hour later, the same nurse enters the room and announced that Mr. Smith's wife had just had triplets. Mr. Smith stands up and says, well, how do you like that? I work for the 3M company. Then the gentleman that was sitting next to me got up and started to leave. When I asked him why he was leaving, he remarked, I think I need a breath of fresh air. How come? The man said, I work for 7-Up. Do you have any more jokes there, my dear?
I do. How is health insurance just like a hospital gown?
No idea.
You only think you're covered. Did you hear about the one about the man who was flattened by a steamroller?
No.
He's in the hospital. He's in the hospital rooms 30 through 35. Kim says, I just got a watch for my sister. And Joe says, I wish I could make a swap like that. What did one mind reader say to the other mind reader? You're
no
fine.
Idea.
You're fine. How am I? Where does a man with only one hand shop?
No
at
idea.
At a secondhand store.
Ah, there we go.
Why did the golfer change his socks?
No idea.
He had a hole in one. Now, what did the dragon say when he saw the knight in shining armor?
No
oh,
idea.
Oh, no. Not more canned food. Now, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Christopher Columbus have something in common. They were all born on a holiday. Why did the sea monster eat 5 ships that were carrying potatoes?
No idea.
No one can eat just one potato chip.
And now for something completely different.
A mother and her daughter were at the gynecologist's office. The mother asked the doctor to please examine her daughter. She's been having some strange symptoms, and I'm worried about her, the mother said. The doctor examined the daughter carefully and then announced, Madam, I believe your daughter is pregnant. The mother gasped, That's nonsense. Why, my little girl has nothing whatsoever to do with men. She turned to the girl. You don't, do you, dear? No, Mumsy, said the girl. Why, you know that I have never so much as kissed a man. The doctor looked from mother to daughter, then back again. Then silently he stood up and walked to the window staring out. He continued staring until the mother felt compelled to ask, Doctor, is there something wrong out there? No, madam, said the doctor. It's just that the last time anything like this happened, a star appeared in the east, and I was looking to see if another one was going to show up.
You got another one?
I do have some more.
Go ahead.
What does Harry Potter use to correct his magic?
No idea.
A spell checker. There were 10 cats on top of a car and one jumped off. And then how many were left? None.
No idea.
They were all copycats. The boy says to his sister, why are grandfather's teeth like the stars? She says, I don't know. And he says, because they come out at night. A man was summoned to the king's court and was amazed to find that the king was only a foot tall. What are you staring at? Yelled the king. Haven't you ever seen a 12-inch ruler?
We've got one here. Go ahead.
An elderly woman went into the doctor's office. When the doctor asked why she was there, she replied, I'd like to have some birth control pills. Taken aback, the doctor thought for a minute and then said, Excuse me, Mrs. Smith, but you're 75 years old. What possible use could you have for birth control pills? The woman responded, They help me sleep better. The doctor thought some more and continued, How in the world do birth control pills help you sleep? The woman said, I put them in my granddaughter's orange juice and I sleep much better at night. The doctor and his wife were having a heated argument at breakfast, As he stormed out of the house, the man angrily yelled to his wife, "You aren't that good in bed either." By mid-morning, he decided he'd better make amends and phoned home. After many rings, his wife, clearly out of breath, answered the phone. "What took you so long to answer, and why are you panting?" "I was in bed." "What in the world were you doing in bed at this hour?" "Getting a second opinion."
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I've finally rebooted the Amusatron 5000. It has the upgrade, and I'd like to present revision 2 of the Amusatron 5000.
Computer jokes from the Amusatron 5000. Two computer programmers are driving on a highway. They switch on the radio, and there is a warning. Please note that a car is driving on Highway 75 against the traffic. The programmer near the driver looks at him and says, "One, there are hundreds of them. While shopping for my first CD player, I was able to decipher most of the technical ease on the promotional signs. One designation had me puzzled, though, so I called over a salesperson and asked, 'What does hybrid pulse DF converter mean?' 'That means,' he said, 'that this machine will read the digital information that is encoded on CDs and convert it into an audio signal, that is, into music. In other words, this CD player plays CDs.' Exactly. Next joke here. At a recent software engineering management course in the US, the participants were given an awkward question to answer. If you had just boarded an airliner and discovered that your team of programmers had been responsible for the flight control software, how many of you would disembark immediately? Among the ensuing forest of raised hands, only one man sat motionless. When asked what he would do, he replied that he would be quite content to stay on board. With his team's software, he said, the plane was unlikely to even taxi as far as the runway, let alone take off. Next joke here. An artist, a lawyer, and a computer scientist are discussing the merits of a mistress. The artist tells of the passion, the thrill which comes with the risk of being discovered. The lawyer warns of the difficulties. It can lead to guilt, divorce, bankruptcy. Not worth it. Too many problems. The computer scientist says, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. My wife thinks I'm with my mistress. My mistress thinks I'm home with my wife, and I can spend all night on the computer. Next joke here. Apple had a new computer under development. Their project name for it was Carl Sagan, I don't know why. When the real Carl Sagan learned about this, he was upset. He demanded that Apple stop using his name, even for their private, internal projects. Apple agreed. They changed the name of the project to Butthead Astronomer. Next joke here. Floppy disk error. By following the instructions below, you should have error-free, long-lasting floppy disks. 1. Never leave diskettes in the disk drive, as data can leak out of the disk and corrode the inner mechanics of the drive. Diskettes should be rolled up and stored in pencil holders. 2. Diskettes should be cleaned and waxed once a week. Microscopic metal particles can be removed by waving a powerful magnet over the surface of the disk. Any stubborn metallic shavings can be removed with scouring powder and soap. When waxing the diskettes, make sure the surface is even. This will allow the diskette to spin faster, resulting in better access time. 3. Do not fold diskettes unless they do not fit into the drive. Big diskettes may be folded and used in little disk drives. 4. Never insert a diskette into the drive upside down. The data can fall off the surface of the disk and jam the intricate mechanics of the drive. 5. Diskettes cannot be backed up by running them through the Xerox machine. If your data is going to need to be backed up, simply insert two diskettes into the drive. Whenever you update the document, the data will be written on both diskettes. 6. Diskettes should not be inserted or removed from the drive while the red light is flashing. Doing so could result in smeared or possibly unreadable text. Occasionally the red light remains flashing in what is known as a hung or hooked state. If your system is hooking, you will probably need to insert a few coins before being allowed access to the slot. 7. If your diskette is full and you need more storage space, remove the disk from the drive and shake vigorously for 2 minutes. This will pack the data enough data compression to allow for more storage. Be sure to cover all the openings with scotch tape to prevent lost data. 8. Access time can be greatly improved by cutting more holes in the diskette jacket. This will provide more simultaneous access points to the disk. 9. Diskettes may be used as coasters for beverage glasses, provided that they are properly waxed beforehand. Be sure to wipe the diskettes dry before using. See item 2 above. 10. Never use scissors in Clue to manually edit documents. The data is stored much too small for the naked eye, and you may end up with data from some other document stuck in the middle of your document. Razor blades and scotch tape may be used, however, provided the user is equipped with an electron microscope. 11. Periodically spray diskettes with insecticide to prevent system bugs from spreading. Next joke here. Reasons why Windows is not a virus. 1. Viruses are free. 2. Viruses don't take up most of your hard drive. 3. Viruses don't need 80 megs of RAM. 4. Viruses don't have major bugs. 5. Viruses don't have 3 different sets of documentation. 6. Viruses don't leak info to the press about the upcoming Jerusalem 95 to keep people from switching to Michelangelo to warp. 7. Viruses aren't on every computer. 8. Nobody cares if the virus turns out to be 16-bit, even though it is advertised as 32. 9. Viruses install themselves. Next joke here. The programmer and the talking frog. A computer programmer happens across a frog in the road. The frog pipes up, "I'm really a beautiful princess, and if you kiss me, I'll stay with you for a week." The programmer shrugs his shoulders and puts the frog in his pocket. A few minutes later, the frog says, "Okay, okay, if you kiss me, I'll give you great sex for a week." The programmer nods and puts the frog back in his pocket. A few minutes later, "Turn me back into a princess and I'll give you great sex for a whole year." The programmer smiles and walks on. Finally, the frog says, "What's wrong with you? I've promised you great sex for a year from a beautiful princess and you won't even kiss a frog?" "I'm a programmer," he replies. "I don't have time for sex, but a talking frog is pretty neat." Next joke here. New virus warning. This just in. New virus warning. If you receive an email with a subject line of "bad times," delete it immediately without reading it. This is the most dangerous email virus yet. It will rewrite your hard drive. Not only that, but it will scramble any disks that are even close to your computer. It will recalibrate your refrigerator's coolness settings so all your ice cream melts and milk curdles. It will demagnetize the strips on all your credit cards, reprogram your ATM access code, screw up the tracking on your VCR, and use subspace field harmonics to scratch any CDs you try to play. It will give your ex-boy girlfriend your new phone number. It will mix antifreeze into your fish tank. It will drink all your beer and leave its dirty socks on the coffee table when there's company coming over. It will hide your car keys when you are late for work and interfere with your car radio so that you hear only static while stuck in traffic. Bad times will make you fall in love with a hardened pedophile. It will give you nightmares about circus midgets. It will replace your shampoo with Nair and your Nair with Rajane, all while dating your current boy girlfriend behind your back and billing their hotel rendezvous to your Visa card. It will seduce your grandmother. It does not matter if she is dead, such is the power of bad times. It reaches out beyond the grave to selling those things we hold most dear. Bad times will give you Dutch elm disease.
It will leave the toilet seat up and leave the hair dryer plugged in dangerously close to a full bathtub. It will wantonly remove the forbidden tags from your mattresses and pillows, and refill your skim milk with hole. It is insidious and subtle. It is dangerous and terrifying.
I think you must have phased me out.
It is also a rather interesting shade of
milk.
He's still connected.
Yeah, he must have.